If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. And next up, I'm talking to my friend over in Australia. I'm chatting to Judy King on the topic of aligned and embodied leadership for building a successful life and legacy. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to dive in, and I know we're going to touch on human design, which always gets me excited. For those of you that don't know Judy, Judy King is a business coach and global speaker. She's the founder of Bold Brave Legacy, a company dedicated to empowering women to build businesses that fuel their lives sustainably while leaving a profound legacy for future generations. With over two decades of experience, she's spoken on stages across four continents to more than 30,000 people, trained 12,000 plus in her group fitness instructors and personal trainers, and impacted over 500,000 through international television. Her passion is helping women create sustainable, impact-driven businesses that align with their authentic selves, where wealth is generated in a way that nourishes rather than depletes. Known for her bold, direct, and empowering approach, Judy combines mindset shifts with embodied practices to unlock potential and deliver actionable, tangible results. As a business mastery coach, NLP and hypnosis trainer, master coach, human design business mentor, and speaker, Judy brings a unique blend of expertise and energy to all she does. Through her movement, Richness Without the Hustle, Judy leads ambitious women to create success on their terms, blending bold ambition with sustainability. Judy, oh my goodness, there's so much in that, and there's so much synergy. I know when you and I first met, it was that connection with the word bold and the word brave. And I was like, I need to connect with this woman. I'm so excited today and in my interviews just to dive in, to get to know you better, to share you with my audience here in New Zealand. I know you come from Australia. Can you give us a little bit of your journey? Tell us a little bit of backstory and how you came to be and specifically be talking about today aligned and embodied leadership.
Sure. I'd love to. Well, I spent 17 years of my life actually in Southeast Asia. I have a very close relationship with New Zealand, being an international master trainer and DVD presenter for Les Mills. And while I was based in Asia, I spent a long time, over a decade, traveling around Southeast Asia and the world, training, developing, upskilling group fitness instructors, personal trainers, and developing the training team and presenter team for Les Mills. So that really, I felt at the time was what I was here for, and I loved it. It was so much fun. I loved travel. I loved the change and the excitement of all of the different Southeast Asia countries that I got to travel to and move around, and spend time in long periods of time in some of those, 13 years in Thailand, 2 years in Vietnam, 2 years in Indonesia. But what it did was open me up into the realm of personal development. Being a leader in the space, I was always seeking to grow and develop and be better at what I did. And one of our values was world class. And so I was consistently striving to that, which looking at how trainings were developed, I learned that NLP was a big part of it. And that took me down the road of going and doing my NLP training, which was really for myself. At the time, I'd separated from my husband. We were married 11 years. And there was a lot of emotions that I wasn't able to move through and didn't really know what I needed actually, but I just wanted to grow and get better at what I did. And that opened up a whole new world for me. And then I just took one step after the other and continued to go down that road. Now we're in 2024. At the end of 2018, my now partner and our daughter, who was born in Thailand, we moved to Australia when Brooklyn, our daughter, was only three. And that was a huge transition. My partner's also American. I hadn't lived in Australia for a long, long time. And that transition that I made moving to Asia was really big. And then moving back to Australia was also huge. A lot of grief, a lot of change, a lot of instability and things that had to go on. And so I continued to really move through everything that I was up against, because the last few years has been big. It's been 5 years. Not only did we go through what we went through with the pandemic, but I also lost my mom and my ex-husband 11 days mm-hmm. apart. So just, you know, just up against so much of my own personal development, it really deepened my experience with embodying the work that I teach from a mindset and emotional maturity capacity. And then now more so in the energetics. And so like losing mom ended up guiding me more deeply into human design and gene keys and unlocking different parts of how I really wanted to grow and build my business. Because over that time, I also experienced burnout a couple of times. And after retiring from the fitness industry at the end of 2017 and going full-time as a coach and a trainer in personal development and coaching and mentoring women in business and CEOs and some of like top business people to support them really break through their own emotional barriers and their own mindset, limited mindsets and belief systems. Through overgiving, over-delivering, needing to figure out how to be an entrepreneur and run a family and support a family. Through all of that, it's been my greatest teacher because I have experienced, like I said, burnout a couple of times and had to figure out how I wanted to build my business in a way where it fit in around my family, because we unschool, free schools, homeschool, whatever language I want to use for that today. Our daughter. And yeah, so it's been a big journey about really learning what's aligned for me and what, how can I actually really walk the talk of the work that I'm teaching others? And I've always done that through my own lived experience. So that's a little bit of the backstory.
Well, there's so many themes there. Something that stood out to me, well, there's the burnout thing and the loss. Oh my goodness, within 11 days, your mom and your ex-husband, that is massive.
Yeah, it was big.
And I know that a lot of listeners, I also want to send love to our listeners because a lot of people have experienced loss over the past 4 or 5 years as well, people from their lives moving on.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the burnout thing, because a lot of people know like, oh, I've been burnt out, or I know a friend who's been burnt out. What is your view on burnout from a higher perspective? Do you feel like, I don't know, when I think burnout, I feel like it's something, you know, someone's putting way too much energy into something that no longer serves them, or maybe they're a projector. They're trying to live life like a generator. I don't know. What are your thoughts on burnout and why it happens to some of us, but not everybody?
Well, I think that our culture has motivated us to move into that way of being. It's very driven. It's very much about get where you want to go harder, faster, sooner. A lot of us have had the conditioning as well. For myself, my mom was a very hard worker. She separated from my dad when I was 6 years old, and there's four of us. Thankfully, she met someone else and he came in and supported as well. But still, she was working multiple jobs, always busy, always moving, always on the go. So I also had that as an example. And I think a lot of us did in that, I'm 47. And so kind of that generation, a lot of our parents probably did that. And so there's been that conditioning, but then also, like I say, the culture of what we're in. And what happened for me initially was the signs were I was doing what I loved. I loved travel. I was on stages inspiring thousands of people at a time. And I'd walk away going far out. That was like amazing. And I loved it. I was so passionate about it. And at the same time, I was really tired, but I didn't know it. And what the signs were that I didn't know at the time was, oh, do I have to do this again? I don't have the energy for this, but I have a lot of willpower and I'm committed to what I'm doing. And so I would just keep going. I would literally just keep pushing through. Then, so that was the first sign. And the second sign for me, it happened 11 months after being in my coaching business full time. And I started to realize there was a lot of anxiety that I was experiencing, and I've never been an anxious person. I ended up drinking a bottle of wine pretty much most nights to take the edge off the anxiety. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was pushing consistently to get to a certain level in my business and do what I thought externally, what I was shown that I should do. And I had zero, like it's so interesting because even at that time, I had studied NLP for 5 years. I'd been coaching and doing the work on myself and gone through different levels of that certification. But at the same time, I was actually still very disconnected from myself. I didn't have a level of embodiment with the work. It was still very much logic. It was still very much in my head about it versus it actually dropping down into my body. And so it's good to have wisdom and knowledge and, you know, we can move emotions and do things like that. And to actually be walking the talk of what we're teaching, like that really takes a shift into trust, into intuition, into our bodies. And I had no connection to that. I was very disconnected. Funnily enough, though, I taught in the fitness industry and competed and was all about body stuff, but actually was still very shut off. And that happens to all of us. We shut off from our bodies and disconnect. And so I think because of the traumas, the significant emotional events that we've been through as a child, as a teenager, as an adult, and the human condition is to disconnect from it, to shut off from the emotion, especially if we hadn't had great mentorship or seen good role models of how to work and, you know, how to be with emotions, then our trauma response is to shut down ultimately in some way, shape, or form. And that's part of what our body does to protect us so that we can move forward and function and carry on. And so yet what that does is leads to a society that is living very dissociated. So it's like you're living outside of your body almost. And I was like that. And so I think because I didn't have that ability to really understand what I was feeling, what was going on in my body, all I could notice now was these things that were happening in my external world. And I got to this point where I just said to my partner, we're in Bangkok, I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, it's Friday evening, 6:15 at night, I'm crying my eyes out. I just said, I'm done. Like, I cannot coach another person. I don't want to speak to another person. I don't even know how to carry on right now. And it was that. And that was the pivotal moment that then I tapped into my intuition. And I was like, what do I need to do here? And my intuition guided me back to Australia. And I was like, what? Because I didn't want to do that. My plan was 6 months in Spain and 6 months of the year world schooling our daughter. And so, it was that. And then when I moved back to Australia and kind of got going again, restarted my business again, this time it was pretty much, I guess, the second time, because that first time when I retired from fitness industry, I wasn't aware that I was actually as burnt out as what I was. This next time was so big. I'd slowly gained weight. Literally my body was screaming, stop, slow down. It was like this internal knowing that I had to do that. And I think, so I've had chronic adrenal fatigue and I just knew it in myself. I didn't have to get diagnosed like 4 years later. Now they're like, oh, you've had chronic adrenal fatigue. I knew at the time that I had it. But again, it was just this inner knowing. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily get to burnout, but they're just living in exhaustion. And that exhaustion has become so known as something that we're just so used to, like wake up being tired, not sleeping well, not moving our bodies, not eating well, whatever it might be, and just going and doing, going through the motions and feeling like, honestly, that we're just consistently tired. And so for me, what I would say that is more of like it could possibly be burnt out at some level or have some kind of adrenal fatigue, or maybe you're just edging there, like edging on that. And the key for me has definitely been about bringing, like, so I talk about embodied leadership because it's like bringing ourselves out of our head and dropping down into connecting, being in our body, feeling what our body is feeling, feeling the sensations of what's going on. If I didn't have that heightened awareness 4 years ago, I wouldn't have even listened to those signs of like, slow down, stop, don't force yourself. Because I continued to still force myself to go and do kickboxing and Bikram yoga and things that actually was totally working against me and actually didn't feel good at all. My body was saying, no, this is not what you need right now. But thankfully, again, I could listen to that and honor that. But it has been such a journey and a lot of recoding, like changing my belief systems around how I need to function, especially coming from years of smashing my body and working hard. When you have adrenal fatigue, working hard just creates more stress in the body and it's not good for the hormones. So it's like being able to slow right down and walk. And now I do Pilates, you know, it's like, but I had to literally do nothing for a long, long time.
If you're listening to this, and I'm sure for many, it's resonating for you, that message, what Judy just said, you know, she was getting the message, it's time to slow down. And many of us are feeling maybe not burnt out, but very much kind of pushed to that limit because of maybe division in perspectives or possibly just the worry or concern around the world. There's a lot of reasons, as well as that whole, you know, work hard, play hard mentality that so many of us grew up with.
Yeah.
Judy, how can somebody take, even if it is the first step, like if they're like, okay, I do need to slow down, or okay, I do need to, as I like to say, lovingly let go of some of these expectations I've been putting on myself around whatever, fitness or job or relationships. What is a first step someone can take to be more aligned and more embodied in their life? You might want to elaborate on what that means, but what is one of the first steps they can take?
Well, I feel the first thing is, and it can be just literally a simple first step without needing anything else external, is the tuning, the slowing down, like taking time for yourself where you are in silence, you are out in nature, you can be walking and moving. It's a practice that I give all of my clients to be with yourself, be in your own energy. And it's very difficult for a lot of people. It's like, you know, sitting and meditating is really difficult. This can be easier because you can move, you can walk, you can go and do some weeding, whatever feels good, where you're actually possibly still doing some kind of active form of movement. But you have no outside influence. So you're not listening to a podcast or putting music on, or you're literally just with yourself. And you want to do your best as well to empty out any thoughts. So, you know, thoughts will probably come in, but it's just acknowledging it, letting go, bringing your presence back to your breath, to pulling the weed, to taking the next step, et cetera. And even 15 minutes, 30 minutes can be built up to an hour is something that what it will do is it will tune you back in to yourself. There's so much external influence, so much noise out there from everyone else's opinions and thoughts and belief systems. And then we've got the news and the TV. If you listen to that, if you watch that, then you've got the influence from all shows that we watch and politics and everything, right? There's so much influence telling us what we should think, who we should be, what we should decide, who we should vote for, etc. And we don't actually know ourselves enough, and we're not encouraged to take this time for ourselves, especially being a busy mum. It's the last thing that we do because everyone else comes before us, for the mums listening. But it's my clients always say, like, this practice in itself has changed the game for me, and it's something very simple you can do. You don't need anything else. And like I say, what it's going to do is tune you into your wisdom, tune you in, you know, to that voice, that intuitive voice, because we know when we need something, we know when we don't need something anymore. It may be confronting for us to hear that or to act on that, like it was for me when I heard move back to Australia. I'm like, what? But it's just starting to tune into that quieter voice that is within every single one of us. And get to know ourselves again. Like, the more we know ourselves, the more we just come back into alignment versus living our lives based on what we were told, who we were told we should be and how we were told to think, etc. And the more time we spend in our own frequency, our own aura energy, it's just very simple. It's a very simple practice that will bring you back in. And what that does is start to bring you back into your body, even just bringing your hands on your heart and breathing into your heart and starting to feel the sensations of that. Like, that's how we end up building and expanding embodied leadership, because embodied is where we're really deeply inside of our body. We're deeply connected to every sensation within our body. All of that's guiding us and moving us. If we're feeling an emotion, we're going to feel it as a sensation before we feel it before we label it. But again, if we're shut off from that wisdom, that guidance, we miss it. So the more we can just start to apply these basic practices to come out of the head and connect into so much wisdom within our bodies, it's such a beautiful thing. And if you're new to that and it feels really scary, you just start with a minute a day. And, you know, of that practice of coming into the heart and feeling what's there and start building on that. It doesn't, you know, it's kind of like the way that I talk about embodiment and even any transformational work and change. Sometimes we think we've got to make these quantum leaps and go, you know, from zero to a gazillion in a moment. But it doesn't work like that. Actually, the best way to transform and to change is through micro movement, through micro steps, through micro changes consistently over time. And what that does is that then leads to the quantum leap.
You know, even just the other day, just yesterday, it's a bit of a habitual shift because I am that person. If I'm going out to walk the dog, I'll grab my headset, I'll listen to something because I love knowledge. I love consuming. I love contemplating, but I couldn't find my headset. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's just me then. You know, like it was different for me to not be listening to something. And it's so good. And isn't it so reflective of the era that we live in where it's unusual? And, you know, even multitasking aside, people like love multitasking, right? I'll listen to a podcast while I wash the dishes, which is fine. But I hear what you're saying. Even if we can spend a few minutes every day in our own energy, frequency, space, not having some external influence, yeah, part of it's a habit. I'm going to make a bit of a shift. I still will listen to things because I love that, but I will make sure that I have dedicated time where it is just me, where I'm not trying to do 1,000 things, but I love that you said I could weed the garden at the same time.
Yeah, I love weeding. It's so fun. I do. It's such an analogy for life, right? It's like just pulling these little weeds out from the root and, you know, just, yeah, being gentle with it.
But making space for other things to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Segue there. I'm going to segue. I don't know if this is going to work, but when I talk about human design, I often talk about life is like a sushi train and invitations and opportunities come your way, but you can't say yes to all of them or your plate will be full, right? So weeding is like clearing way for other things. Like, so getting rid of things in your life that no longer serve you, maybe they used to, but now not so much. They don't light you up or they don't fulfill you or they're not really meant for you. So weeding out, if we can weed our life and make space for more invitations and opportunities to come in. I use that analogy with human design. Can you talk to me a little bit about human design for my listeners that don't know what it is? How does knowing your human design help you to live a more aligned life and today's topic, aligned and embodied leadership? How does it fit in with that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked because that would have been the next thing that I speak into, which is, again, now we're looking at something external that we can use to help us come into a deep knowing of ourselves. And this is why I love human design. I use gene keys and a bit of astrology as well. But we are very conditioned. I mean, it's one of our basic needs is to have certainty. And it helps. What I've noticed is when you learn your human design, even if it's just the very basics of knowing your energetic type. So we've got our generators, manifesting generators, projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. Just understanding that from an energetic point of what are the superpowers and the gifts of these energetic types? What is my strategy that aligns with that type? And the strategy is how am I designed energetically to move through the world? And what is my not self theme? The not self theme is related to each type, which is not actually a not self because it is part of who we are, but it's more of the shadow part of ourselves, or it's the part of ourselves that actually is the director that is showing us where am I out of alignment. So for our generators, their not self theme is frustration, and the signature theme, so what we want to feel, is satisfaction. For manifestors, the not self is anger. The signature is peace. For projectors, the not self is bitterness and the signature theme is success. And for reflectors, the not self is disappointment and the signature theme is surprise, which is like delight. And so kind of when you understand that, I'm going to speak for myself because I'm a manifesting generator, when I'm experiencing frustration, that is a pure signal to me to know, oh, something's out of alignment. What I'm either trying to move faster, move faster than what I actually have the capacity for, or I'm not being patient. I'm trying to, so when you kind of learn like specific traits around each of the types, it's like you start to connect the dots of where potentially could I be out of alignment. So for manifesting generators, generally we do move very fast and then we don't have patience enough when things aren't moving fast enough. So it's the strength, but it also can be a bit of a shadow in it too. So as in, we don't notice that that can be a gift, but it can also hold us back. So I could be frustrated because I'm not moving fast enough, let's say. So it could be, right, that frustration. And this is why I say when we are feeling that emotion, it's beautiful feedback. Our conditioning has told us that we shouldn't feel emotions like anger or frustration, yeah. You know. But when you understand that this is my feedback loop, this is a communication my body is giving me that is communicating to me that right now I'm operating in a what I like to call a low expression of the type. And then there's the high expression of the type. The high expression is going to be, for manifesting generator, is going to be actually slow is fast. Real, even though we move fast, it's like understanding that the slower I go in being patient enough for it to happen, the more success I'm going to have. So, right, it's like you start to understand these elements about yourself. And then it can also be, I've said yes to something that I actually meant no to. And this happens a lot, right? I mean, our culture, again, especially being women, men too. I've done a keynote, and very often I'm speaking to women, but of course I'm always speaking to men as well. And it was very much around people pleasing. And there was a man in the audience, and he was like, oh my God, he actually came up and said later, you were speaking to me as much as you were speaking to my wife, if not more so. That people pleasing, saying yes just because we want to help, because we want to be of service, we want to give, we want, et cetera. And quite often, so when we learn our human design and you learn that you have an authority, your authority is your decision-making process. And when you learn how to use that, again, it's a very body-led communication, and learn to honor that and say no, even if it feels really uncomfortable. Oh, like it just leads to deeper levels of that signature theme, which is satisfaction. And again, it's like, well, what does satisfaction mean to me? So we can expand and go deeper on understanding that about ourselves as well. And when I know for me, satisfaction means freedom, it means peace as well, it means like expansiveness in how I feel, then I'm seeking that feeling. I'm seeking that for me is alignment and also embodiment, because I know that I'm honoring my way of deciding things and moving through life as well. For an example, as a generator, it's responding to life. If we're trying to force it and push it and will it to happen and, you know, chase down whatever it is that we want versus allow it to come. And again, this is that old school mentality that you've got to...
That's been my biggest challenge. I'm such a go-getter that I'm just allowing and having the patience. That's tricky for me.
It is. It's one of the trickiest for many gens, because we move fast and we want it now. And you know, all of society can probably relate to this in some way, right? It's like, and this is the other thing that I like to weave in and how I teach human design as well, is that even though we may have a specific energetic type, all of the types are somehow within us, because we have channels within the human design chart. And those channels and the specific gates are, I'm going to talk about the channels, but the gates too, the channels are specified to the energetic types. So for an example, we have generated channels. We have one manifesting generator channel. We have manifested channels and we have projected channels. So for most of us, we're all going to have projected gates or channels. So even though we might be manifesting generator, we also will have some elements of the traits of a projector within us. Meaning, if I'm in the logic or the systems, or if I'm in whatever it might be that's more of a projected quality as a manifesting generator, I would also benefit very greatly from waiting for the invitation or being seen or being recognized. So there's elements that intertwine, and this is how I love to bring human design in, is like seeing the magic of how when we really understand things more deeply, how it all intertwines and how we actually are all of it. And of course, we've got some dominant things that we're going to be more of, but it's like, oh yeah, we can see how it all ties in. And then the most potent thing about knowing yourself as well and coming into alignment with your own energy and how you're designed to move and make decisions in your life is life starts to unfold for you. Life starts to feel very flowy and easeful and no longer, it feels really hard and I need to struggle. We can start to, this has been the biggest thing for me, is I've just created my business in a way that feels really amazing. My life just moves in flow. Nothing feels hard. It just feels really juicy. And that's because I've learned about myself and I've learned about others. You know, in my relating to my partner, mm-hmm. I can understand what he needs from me because of how I work and vice versa. The way I parent, my daughter's also a manifesting generator. I teach her about her authority.
Yes.
About her emotions. I understand what she needs to be soothed and so on, right? Like the biggest immediate impact that I see with my clients is always an improvement in their relationships and how they're relating and communicating and understanding one another, which to me builds alignment.
That is the key. Whenever I talk about human design, I also say, like when people say, why are you so excited about it? Yeah. Because it helps us to understand, or as I like to say, understand ourselves and others yeah. better, judge ourselves less and others, and love ourselves more and others. So, and when we can do that, especially, you know, I've got three kids, if I just treated them all the same and had all yeah. the same expectations and, you know, I don't think it would really work, but because I see them for who they are and I know about human design and it, I think it just makes me a better mom. And I mean, who wouldn't want that? So.
Yeah, absolutely. And like projected children quite often can get very projected on because they do need more rest. They are not as active as generators and have quite often been told, you know, you're lazy. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing it like that? Or people who have an emotional authority and they need space, they need time to sleep on it and think about it. When you know that about your children, and yeah, it does. It makes you so much more a better person.
I've actually got two projectors.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's that thing that you have as a evidence point almost that, oh, like for me, it was always, oh, now I can like really own that part of me, you know, that I move quick, I skip steps, I like to change my mind. And if I haven't made a decision from my emotional clarity, why I've then given up on things where the judgment could have been, oh, well, I can't follow through on things, right? And that's typically how we would look. Like, don't give up on things. You got to finish it to the end. That's the mentality a lot of the times. And so it just gave me so much more compassion and understanding about myself. And everyone says it just makes so much sense. And it just gives me permission to be me.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Judy King. We're talking about aligned and embodied leadership for building a successful life and legacy. Just now, we were talking about human design as it is such a part of living in alignment. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to hear your questions. You can send us a text, 2057 on the text, or if email is more your jam, inbox at realitycheck.radio. Judy, let's talk a little bit more about the topic, which is for building a successful life and legacy. Legacy, right? A lot of people might not exactly think, they might think, oh, I don't really have a legacy. Or some people think leaving a legacy means leaving enough money for your kids. Why is leaving a legacy or creating a legacy important for, well, hopefully most people? Why? What does it mean and how does it fit into this topic?
Well, I believe that our legacy matters for every single one of us. And whatever and however that looks, and that could be simply who you are being and how and what you are remembered for in who you became. And first and foremost, owning that, owning the leadership of us as parents, as teachers, as business owners, as employees, whatever it is, in some way, shape, or form, every single one of us is a leader. We are leading our life. We are leading our children. We are leading other people and in so many ways. And ultimately, every single one of us has something bigger that we're here for that is also outside of ourselves, that is not only about us. I truly believe that. Whether or not every single person will embrace that and be wanting to kind of live that out in this lifetime is another story. However, I just believe that the more deeply we can get to know who we are and what it is that we want to be a stand for, that in itself is a legacy. And it could be as a mother who was so devoted to her children and built these children up in a certain way that they were kind and loving and respectful, right? That in itself is a legacy in my perspective. And when we're able to tune in with ourselves and come into a knowing, a deep trust within who we are and our own alignment of what matters to us and what's important to us and why it's important as well. And we just really spend the time to get to know that within ourselves, what's going to happen is it's going to open up something more, something greater, something that, yeah, we do want to be remembered for. And we do want to be able to look back at the end of our life and say, yeah, this was who I was. This was who I became. This is what I offered the world, or this is what I offered my family. And to me, it just comes down to being devoted to being ourselves, coming back to our truth. What is my truth? What is something that I need to share that everyone needs to hear from me, potentially a message, a story. I see too, some of my clients are older and they in their 70s and they've said like, what have I got to give? Like, what now, you know, like, and I'm always looking at the wisdom that they have through their story and who they've, yeah, how they've navigated life. And even though they may be up against challenges right now in understanding that transition that they're going through, that, yeah, even just being a messenger of the story that you've experienced and what you've learned through that is potentially their legacy. And so for me, it's a passion. For me, it's important to support people to ignite that within themselves and to just not accept a kind of mediocre and average existence where I'm just here to kind of live and that's it. No, we're not. We're actually here for so much more, every single one of us. And that more is going to be very individual based on your choices and your values, what matters to you. And I think deciding today that, yeah, I do have something of value, that I am of value because I'm here in this life. I'm here. It's a miracle, right?
At this monumental time that we're living through.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. I mean, I think that one of the benefits, and there are benefits of the last 4 years, 5 years, and that we've been living through, is a lot of people thinking about, what do I stand for? You know, what am I here for? What will I stand for? What will I no longer stand for? And yeah, Speaking their truth a little bit louder. I'd love to ask you, because, you know, we're in New Zealand, you're in Australia. What is the pulse of the people at the moment? I know you, obviously Australia is a big country, but what is the vibe over there? Do you feel like more people are starting to awaken or maybe lean more into their spiritual side? What are your thoughts?
Well, I live in a beautiful little hub in the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. So I probably have a slightly warped sense of what's happening in Australia, but I am very grateful for where I live, because people are very conscious. Where most people, yeah, so many people are homeschooled here, and you know, we're into our organic foods, and a lot of them going off grid and establishing community style living. Like, a lot of my friends are doing that and building tiny homes and things like that. So, I mean, I live in a hub where we have a lot of that level of thinking and that level of consciousness. I think within Australia, it's not like that so much. Yeah. I mean, maybe a little bit, but it's still, in my experience, in my opinion, is there's still a lot of people that are still caught up in the thinking, that is the system. It's the structure, it's the rules, it's the way it is, and are not willing to bend outside of that. And I feel though there is a lot of a lot of fatigue, a lot of tiredness around what we've been through. I think collectively, everyone's been through a lot of grief. I'm very intuitive. I'm very tapped into people's emotions. And for me, what I experience is a lot of grief. Because grief is anything that where we're experiencing change. We may not have experienced loss, but maybe it's loss like in a different way where we've had to change a career or give up a career or start something new or close down our business or move cities or whatever it might be, right? It's like any disruption to our regular routine creates a level of grief. And I would say every single person has experienced that over the last 4 years. So that's what I feel in the vibe. And again, I'm really grateful the hub that I live in with the kind of people that I'm surrounded by. And yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
All right. We're almost out of time, but I want to ask you these important questions. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Well, one of the things that I would do is start putting myself out there, pitching myself to be on TEDx stages. It's a goal and a vision that I have that I've been meaning to do all of this year, almost since March maybe. And all of my other exciting projects have taken over that. So yeah, I would say to up my brave would definitely be around starting that process of putting my TED talk out there and potentially landing a stage for 2025.
Well, I know you've spoken to thousands and thousands of people, and we would love to have you over here in New Zealand at some point. What is coming up for you in business or life, and how can people reach out? How can they follow you on the socials and your website?
So I've got a workshop coming up, which is called Rich Codes, teaching the eight frequencies, the eight codes to, if you're in business, to magnetize high paying clients that pay in full. And from there is the embodiment experience. So actually it's a really, I'm launching this as a brand new program through my inspiration, because I had seen how so many people, when they start learning human design, they learn it very much from the logic perspective. I have this knowledge, but then don't know how to embody it, don't know how to bring it into their body and actually implement it in their lives. And I've created my own method called the recoding method that I use with somatics and hypnosis to help people really get into their bodies with it. So the embodiment experience is going live after the workshop. And it's just kind of self-paced course, and there'll be a VIP mini mind version of that as well. So that's what I'm excited about right now, being able to kind of get that out to more people. And because the only people that have access to that right now, the women in my mastermind, which is a high level women in business. So that's that. And you can find me on Instagram, The Judy King is my username. And if you go to www.thejudyking.com, you'll also be able to find me on everything there. There's a connect page, and yeah, there's freebies and all other really cool stuff on there.
Amazing. We will put the links, everybody, on the replay page, but otherwise you can just look up The Judy King and find it. I love the consistency there. The embodiment experience, that sounds amazing. So it's online. It's so they don't have to be in Australia. People can do it around the world. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's all online with so many amazing resources and tools, worksheets, self-assessments, meditations, activations, and some teaching as well. But
All right, everybody. So if you've been wanting to up your brave in terms of your embodiment and living more in alignment, check that out. Judy, we're just going to wrap things up, but what else would you love to share with our listeners before we go?
What I would love to share is one of the most important things, I think, for all of us is really to come back into our most authentic truth. And the more we can be brave enough to actually sit with ourselves, like even that recommendation I gave you, being with yourself in silence, that requires so much courage. And from there is then when you tune in, when you listen, when you get messages around what's there for you, being able to then act on that and leaning into the discomfort of maybe confronting conversations or the resistance that might be there around saying no to someone that you've said yes to, or saying yes to something that you'd said no to, could be the opposite way around. Yeah. And just encouraging people to, yeah, really, you know, breathe into their bodies and create this sense of knowing that when you get a nudge and when you do get that insight, that it is there for you, and take that invitation and speak your truth and lead from your truth, and only magic will unfold when you do that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Judy, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.